Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Let the truth set you free.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome back to the Creative Control podcast, and welcome to the very first The Squared Circle podcast by Creative Control. We decided to branch out a little bit in terms of what we're discussing on our podcast, and you'll know us from being the Creative Control movie podcast. We're pretty much going to be going by Creative Control. We are an entertainment podcast, so we're going to be branching out, and we're going to be about TV shows, but also what we're going to be talking about today is professional wrestling. Specifically, probably more like WWE, but we will touch on AEW, I'm sure. But that's where my knowledge is based, and that's kind of the product that I watch most. But I'm kind of aware of what's going else. You'll notice a familiar face here. We have Neil. How you doing, Neil? Thank you very much for joining. And three new faces, which you guys would not have met before. And we have Ryan, Rax, and Az. Welcome to the Creative Control podcast.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
It's good to be here.
Absolutely. So Neil actually invited me into this group about this time last year, actually, because I was like, you know, I'm a wrestling fan, and you know, I've kind of got back into it. And he's like, look, I've got some friends, they're really into it as well. Come watch WrestleMania with us. Went around to Ryan's, we watched WrestleMania, had a blast. I'm part of this WhatsApp group with these guys now, which is great. And we also have a wrestling fantasy league as well. And which I'm way bottom of the league this year.
We joined late.
So myself and Az joined very, very late, and we started picking wrestlers. I've been selected.
I've been champion for 3 years. Okay.
I mean, it's very similar to Roman at the moment. Basically,
he is. Neil is reigning, defending, undisputed at the moment. Absolutely. Yeah, so
something screwed up. My closest challenger just gave his he gave his shot to The Rock.
Well, I mean, this year can change, right? No, yeah, we got two new. We got two other people, and so we need to get rid of him. We got to do it. We got to do it, man.
What happened?
Absolutely.
Maybe
actually on each podcast, Neil, you could give us the updated stats on each podcast so we can let people know where we're at in the fantasy league.
That's going to be depressing. All of our stats.
We'll just have our stats in the corner here. Just give me like.
We've not even broken 100 points yet, have we? Like, I mean,
I don't think I've broken 20 points. I'm just out. Man, it's ridiculous.
To be fair, we can't half count
my, half of my
like,
roster
a
left.
A lot of deductions.
My roster left. Exactly.
You had more deductions in one hit than I think you had more deductions in one hit than I've had the whole time we've been doing deductions.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think you guys joined roughly around where Money in the Bank was, so you were sort of like halfway through. So
it was.
You know, it's kind of unfair for you guys, but I mean, obviously, 2024. This
exactly.
New
it'll be yeah, a new year,
you,
so
we're coming.
It'll
for
be
you.
A new year. Absolutely.
Come what you like, as long as you acknowledge me.
I think there's going to be a special place for the inaugural champ who won on the last day on WrestleMania in the last match.
Who won the first FA Cup?
Right, Ryan's going to be like Chris Jericho, right? He was like, I'm the first undisputed champion.
I'll be dying in 20 years.
Absolutely. And as you should. Right, so we are here to talk about WWE. We're here to talk about professional wrestling. We're calling this The Squared Circle, part of the Creative Control podcast. And we're talking today specifically about Elimination Chamber 2024. So the way we kind of run this podcast is we're going to talk about the previous pay-per-view. So we're going to delve a little bit into the Royal Rumble, get our thoughts on that. Was it as predictable as we thought? Were there some unexpected stuff? We'll kind of cover that. Then we'll talk a little bit about the fallout since then, what's happened on Raw and SmackDown, some key injuries and stuff like that. And then we're going to say, basically, if we had creative control, a la Triple H, how we would book Elimination Chamber 2024. And at the moment, we're going to do this as a monthly podcast. And so obviously next month, we'll discuss the Elimination Chamber results. and then we're going to go ahead and book WrestleMania. And we'll probably do that in a two-parter, because obviously it's two nights. There's a lot to go through, and there'll be a lot of story building. So we'll probably end up doing that as a two-parter. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the Rumble, and we're going to be booking Elimination Chamber. First of all, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you haven't already, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe to our YouTube channel to check out the video version. The video version is also available on Spotify, and you obviously can get the audio version there, and you can pick up our podcast from any major podcast platform. So, first of all, I'm just going to whip around the room and just kind of get your guys' thoughts on the Royal Rumble. Did the people win that you wanted to win? You know, who missed out and stuff like that. Let's start with Rax. What did you think of the Rumble?
I mean, I pretty much enjoyed it. I did enjoy it, but I kind of felt a bit underwhelmed throughout the event as well. Like, I wasn't really into it. Like, I don't know, there's something about it that I just really couldn't get into it as much. I mean, as far as it goes with the winners and stuff, it was nice to see Bayley win, to be honest with you, because I think for the past few years or so, she's been very underused, in a sense, you know what I mean? Like, you know, she had that whole time when she was, like, losing to Bianca Belair, which I get as well, but, I mean, the whole thing with the damage control, I mean, you just knew there was going to be a build-up, but I wasn't really expecting her to win the Rumble, so it was a good little, do you know what I mean? It was, I know there was, like, you know, if you go on certain websites or whatever, you read up and people putting down, like, you know, who's more likely to win. Bayley was actually like the first choice, and I thought, I was really, you know, I was really kind of like thrown aback by that. I was like, really? I wasn't really sure. But yeah, happy to see that she, you know, she got the win. And I especially, I did like the way that it broke down into who she ends up choosing for WrestleMania. I thought that was really cool. This past week on SmackDown. But in terms of Cody and Punk, yeah, but I thought it was going to be Punk, to be honest with you. I actually thought it was going to be Punk. I mean, it was nice to see Cody go do it again, because he's got to finish the story or whatever. Yeah. But obviously, we know how that turned out as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, coming on to that,
Although I wasn't, so I mean, the pay-per-view as a whole, it was okay. I actually don't remember much from the Fatal 4-Way, actually, too much, to be honest.
It's true,
I actually don't really remember much. I remember there was a table spot, I think.
There was a lot of near falls for Roman in that, I know. There was like at least twice. So I think, did LA Knight have him pinned at one point? And then I think AJ fell on top of him.
Yeah, probably.
And then Randy Orton had him dead to rights, and then obviously Solo came in again. So
bizarrely wearing a hoodie again.
Like, yeah, exactly. Shock.
Yeah.
I had no idea who it was until he took that hood back down. No idea.
It wasn't really a memorable match for me. I was kind of wasn't really paying attention to it, to be honest with you. And what else was on the card? It was Kevin Owens and Logan Paul.
Kevin Owens, Logan Paul.
I didn't think it was too bad, actually. It was, it was entertaining. I thought, you know, I think they're both entertaining characters. I know how people feel about Logan Paul, but I just thought it was a pretty entertaining match, to be honest with you. I actually, Kevin Owens, I think he can work with pretty much anyone. Yeah. He's such a good storyteller, man. He's so good at it, what he does. So, I mean, all in all, the pay-per-view was all right. It was just a bit underwhelming in parts. I wasn't really into the Universal title match. Generally, the surprises or whoever, the entrance, I guess, you know, the people, the participants who came in wasn't really... Do you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I know Naomi came back and all that, but I wasn't really like, Naomi's back. You know what I mean? It's just like, for me, it just kind of felt like she never left. Like, she went on an injury thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, she just came back. It was just like, oh, cool.
She went and won a title at another business, but no, it's fine. It's like she was
screaming at the screen.
Yeah, actually, yeah, exactly. So it was all these, and
I was what's a bit your disappointed. First word again?
Do you know what? Do you know what? Like, I actually did like Jade Cargill being part of the whole thing, you know, the whole stare down, because obviously they're probably going to veer towards Bianca v. Jade Cargill. I mean, that's what it looks like for me at WrestleMania. So, I mean, I like that, how they build up the tension, but then it's just like, before they could get to it, you know, it just didn't happen, because they're trying to get us to, you know, tease us and whatnot. Yeah, that was really cool. I just didn't like the fact that she was eliminated by Liv Morgan, I think it was, or it was like a combination of Liv Morgan. I'm not a big Liv Morgan fan, to be honest with you. I find she's overrated. So, I mean, it just I just kind of thought it would have been better if it would have been Bayley and Jane at the end. But
I quite like everything about Liv Morgan except her finish. Mm-hmm. Her finish is just weird. Like, she dives through the rope and then gets them to roll back. It's one of the... Either way. I like everything about her other than that. I just never got her finish.
I just never got her, yeah, to be honest.
She's like Alexa Bliss, but not Alexa Bliss to me.
Like, yeah, I agree. I think she's like like the Wish version of
Alexa. No, not Bliss. That. Not like that.
I was gonna go with the less refined version, but
yeah, I would have said it. But yeah, she got like Alexa Bliss, like how she's done her character and how she's like the, like, it comes from like Asia Lee being like the, like, you know, the gamer girl, the different girl, like Paige and stuff, and obviously the Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan kind of take, you know, they're taking different parts of that, but I feel like it's like Alexa Bliss 2.0. It's like just not the same. Do you know what I mean? It's like
it's not point five.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually remember when we went to Liv Morgan.
I'm like, you just remind me of just Alexa Bliss, but not Alexa Bliss, and I want Alexa Bliss back.
I actually remember when we went to Clash at the Castle when we, because you and me, Azra, were sitting next to each other. And you and me, for like some reason, we just didn't want Liv Morgan to win. Rousey, I think she was, Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler.
And we were like really behind Shayna to win,
I think the idea was that if she wins, that therefore that she's the baddest of them all. And it's like, but you're not. Right? Shayna Baszler is like a really, really good wrestler. And for shame how they're booking her at the moment. But I think the idea was if she beat her, then she's up there. But it's like, it was kind of like how they did with Roman a few years ago when he was getting, a decade ago maybe, when he was getting booed so much because they were forcing that idea of like he's being the best, therefore he is the best. And I feel like Liv Morgan, they're kind of feeding us that same kind of story of like she's being the best, therefore she is the best. But we're like, but the best is better. The people that she's beating are better than her. Like, they should have that chance because they deserve that chance as well. And it's unfair to see that.
Yeah. As what's your highlights in those points there? But what were your thoughts on the Rumble?
Oh, I love Bayley winning. I want her to come back to her baby face. Like, I miss her baby face era, and I think we need that. She's been a good heel, but I want her to come back as baby face. Maybe not like as like her NXT days, because she's definitely like grown from that, but you know, it would be nice for WrestleMania to hear that her original entrance song. Like, I think that will have a really big pop. Like, I would cry. I'm really happy she deserves it, because I don't think she's had a WrestleMania moment yet. I don't believe it. Like, I think this is especially the championship. She's had a tag team one with Sasha Banks, I believe, but as an individual one, I don't think she's had a chance to
be a woman.
She's one of the so-called four horsewomen, wasn't she?
Exactly. So, and I think like Charlotte and Becky and Sasha have been dominating that, and Bayley was always, she should have been up there, but she was the last one in NXT to make sure NXT was rising. And then when she came to the roster, she did have like moments, but not a WrestleMania one. So it's really, really good to see her like shine, and I hope she wins the title. She deserves it, and to have a baby face run again.
I was just going to say, could you imagine if that happened at end of night one WrestleMania, and loads of those waving streamers entirely around the arena?
It'll be magical. It's what we want. It's what I want. It's what everyone wants. In terms of the men's Royal Rumble, I think it was definitely going to be like Cody and CM Punk in the end. From like, I think the Raw before, you could just tell that was going to be the end of it. And I think we were talking about it throughout the night that it could be CM Punk, it could be Cody, it could be CM Punk with Ryan. And I think we were just when Cody wrote and he pointed at Roman, you're like, okay, this is the story. Then obviously you're like, what happened afterwards? You're like, well, why did you do that? And then it kind of, at the moment of what he won, I'm like, yes, this is what we need. We need that like John Cena thing where he came back and he won it. Like, this is great. And that was great at that moment. But then everything that happened afterwards, it's kind of soured it. And it's just like, well, now that's not a really good moment. It's just made it more confusing, and everyone's going to come back to what happened here. Like, it's not going to be memorable as soon as, like, as it should have been. It should be like another one. I was like, oh yeah, he did win it a few years later, rather than remember the time he won it to do this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Ryan, what were your thoughts on the Rumble?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's caught Azra up quite a bit during it as she knows
it's spoke about the Rumbles, not anything else.
For anyone international, we were watching it at nearly 4 a.m. here. In fairness, I really enjoyed it. As I said, I'm a massive fan of Kevin Owens, so I enjoyed that match. And Logan Paul has really surprised me with how he's come on. Like, I think he's had, probably a load of training things, but even still, 7 professional matches. Like, he's phenomenal for what he's doing, even though I don't like what he's done. He's phenomenal.
I think his selling is fantastic. Yeah. I think the way he sells and moves and the way he sort of like story tells throughout the match, I think he's really, really good for the experience that he has.
Well, that's the thing. 7 matches in, he's way better than so many other wrestlers. I mean, he's got the athletic ability as well, but you can just see it.
I think people forget he was actually a wrestler.
Yeah, back in
Yeah, he was an amateur wrestler. I mean, and anyone who does amateur wrestling, I mean, you look at the caliber of it, you know, you've got Chad Gable, Otis, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, Logan Paul, who am I forgetting?
Kurt Angle,
that's the one, right?
Yeah.
All of them did collegiate wrestling.
Oh, even Ziggler, I guess.
Right.
Ziggler was one.
All of those people were collegiate wrestlers, and regardless of where WWE or TNA or whoever placed them on the card, nobody can deny their physical abilities.
Yeah.
And I think Logan Paul is just testament to that.
Yeah, but he's not a nice person. I don't like, he's quite like, even though he's a good wrestler, I don't like his attitude. Is that it's just he stinks.
That means you're doing it right. What about your Rumble winners, Ryan? Were they your picks?
Yeah, pretty much. I hope Bayley would win. The damage control storyline has kind of been leading there. Then the follow through, as Rax was saying, was pretty much perfect. I think they've just shown it 25 million views on it, so it's one of the highest rated things coming out of it. So yeah, really, really happy Bayley finally got that recognition. She kind of carried the entire women's division during the pandemic era. She's phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely glad she's going to get hopefully a main event slot, not just a main event, like where they can find. WrestleMania's got 8 matches and 7 main events type thing.
I hope she
actually gets that proper recognition. Then again, like Azra said, Cody made the next logical step on his story that they've been building towards for 2 years. That scene where he's pointing at Roman and going, "You, I choose you." I thought that's so refreshing. They're not going to do the bollocks at the end of Raw where it's like, "Who's going to pick?
Who are you going to pick?"
Then they did, "Who's he going to pick?" on Raw.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins came out and did a really good job of hyping up the title. I love that title. You go over there, but it then took an absolute battering on SmackDown when Roman came out and went, "What a joke!" They had to create it because nobody could beat me. It's like, yeah, that's true. Everyone thought about that, but why did they let you say that? And then obviously all the stuff with The Rock kind of, as Ezra said, ruined it. They've probably got a plan. They're trying to manufacture Yes Mania 2.0 with the We Want Cody stuff. But at the moment, I suppose you're only halfway in. Maybe the whole story would look good. Maybe they'll do Roman versus Cody versus, like, I'm hoping they have Rock talking to Cody and Cody turns on him. We'll see. Yeah. That's spoilers.
We'll see.
But really good, soured by everything afterward.
Everything afterwards, yeah. Neil, coming to you then. The Royal Rumble.
I mean, it's weird. My main focus about the entire event was who's going to win the Men's Rumble, because whilst people watching or listening to this are going to know now, you lot know from day one, I do not like CM Punk. I never know. I never will. Not the guy for me. And the idea that he was gonna win the Royal Rumble, I'd rather Logan Paul wins the Royal Rumble. I'd rather Logan Paul wins the Royal Rumble and dethrones Roman than CM Punk wins.
That's a passion.
Right.
Yeah, very much.
So as I said to you guys earlier, like, it was what, 4:34 in the morning when Punk's feet touched the ground. Oh, it took everything in my power not to scream and wake my neighbors up, because I was so happy. But
I think the rest of the year, I would buy Drew's new t-shirt, mate.
Listen, when I saw it, I was like,
amazing.
I got some money. That could be a t-shirt. I was like, that would be a t-shirt and a hoodie. That's an all-season type of design. But, yeah, the rest of the Rumble, I did enjoy it. I liked the fact that Jordan Grace was in the Women's Rumble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I think what I've noticed is since the... He Who Shall Not Be Named is no longer, like, really, really in charge of WWE. You've noticed that the doors are kind of open now. And it's like, yeah. Oh, you know what? We're not opposed to having relationships with other wrestling companies. We're not going to act like they don't exist. And I think it's refreshing because it brings, you know, it's going to bring more eyes to it. I've followed, Jordan Grace. I don't watch it religiously, but I keep tabs on TNA. So seeing people turn up, because also I don't really like it when legends turn up in the Rumble. I'm like,
I hate it too.
If you want to surprise me, show me a wrestler from another company coming in. Someone who's in their physical prime, can physically go. You know, you had Jordan Grace in there, and other than, say, Jade Cargill and Bayley, the most notable performance in the entire Royal Rumble was Jordan Grace, because she was in there.
Yeah, agreed.
She was tossing people around.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Obviously, it's not a new thing, because obviously they did Mickie James a few years ago when she was TNA champion. So, you know, they do have that relationship with TNA, but I suppose it was different with Mickie James because she was a familiar face to WWE.
Yeah, it was like,
as opposed to this wrestler, like, is someone completely new to a lot of the audience. Yeah.
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 And that's the thing. It was showing them, like, so there's wrestling in other places. But guess what? It's almost like WWE saying, like, guess what? Like, we're friends with people now. We're not just here by ourselves. And I think that worked out well. I did like the kind of semi build up to Bianca Belair versus Jade Cargill. I think, if I'm honest, I think Jade Cargill's entrance was awful.
Yeah, I agree.
The reason I think it was awful isn't anything to do with what she did. She didn't do anything wrong. The problem was, at no moment in time had we heard even a note of music to say that she's in. I don't remember, like, the whole thing was, oh, a storm is coming, or the storm is here, right? I was like, did any of you remember hearing lightning bolts or hearing anything go off to indicate a storm prior to her walking out?
No, I mean, there's a giant problem with WWE and music anyway. Like, it was half of the thing during both Rumbles. I was sat there going, who's that?
Who's that? Yeah, the music's so generic.
And that's the thing. There's no like real oomph to any really like present day music. like you think, mm-hmm. arguably the best music in wrestling right now is probably Cody's entrance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the same
he had from AEW.
And Sammy right?
So it's the entrance that he, you know, it's the entrance that he had from AEW. So when you hear it, you're like, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, okay, Liv Morgan's music, Jade Cargill's music, even like, okay, Damage Control, even Bayley's music, or you know, you hear anyone
well, wherever they can, they want to save on licensing, don't they? For those, for
the, I can understand that, but the best way that I look at it is if you're WWE, you can hire someone to make a song for you, the song is still yours,
yeah, which they did back in the day, you know,
yeah,
and, you know, I mean, like you say, but they're just not varied enough now, it's all kind of the same kind of genre. And nothing really stands out. Yeah,
even went through a period
where like WWE is like the Neptunes in like the early to mid 2000s. It's like every beat sounds the same, but it's not standing out enough.
Yeah, I think I remember the time when I go back to Alexa Bliss because I love her. I remember the time when her original entrance song was so good, like everyone knew when everyone was like whoa, and then when they changed it, you can tell the dramatic, like the audience, it wasn't that same kind of, like you say, oomph, it wasn't same that pop. Same kind of pop. And then you signed, and then they obviously did it with a lot of others because of licensing and stuff, and you just notice that it's just you've just ruined one of the things that make people go go crazy over these over these wrestlers, because an entry song means everything. Look at Finn Balor, but when people get into it, look at Seth Rollins, people get really into it. But when you like say when it's generic, it's like, I think the entrance song is such a big part of the character as well. Yeah, well, you don't it doesn't really set.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we look at it and I say, okay, the Attitude Era. Obviously, it's so easy to go to the Attitude Era and be like, oh yes, but we all know the Attitude Era. But you say Attitude Era and say even like the Golden Era.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard like the first couple of notes, like if somebody played you the first 2 seconds of Bret Hart's theme, Hulk Hogan's theme,
Warrior, Macho Man,
no, yeah. Warrior, you know. Any of these themes, so right? It's even now, like that was, you know, the late 80s to early 90s. Mm-hmm. We're in 2024. You hear that, you know what it is. Right now, there is not a restaurant, bar, club, house in United Kingdom or the United States where if somebody drops a glass, somebody doesn't immediately think you immediately think that. And now I'm trying to think like of someone's entrance music that is brand new or like it's the entrance music they're currently using that means something when they come to the ring.
That'll be one for the future. We'll do a top 10 entrance themes like per era or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, definitely move on. Right, so let's move on. So Royal Rumble, like we said, you know, there's a lot of predictability about it, you know, and it was a Rumble where like Punk and Cody, like very early on, said we're part of it. Like I said, I did like the fact that they didn't rely on legends. I know a lot of people said there wasn't a lot of surprises, but it actually gives more time for the current talent to be able to have some spotlights. And I think, and I appreciated that. If you look at like Bron Breakker, the rumor is he kind of took Brock's spot because he was awesome. He just came in and just demolished people. And that was fantastic to see. So it's just giving like the, you know, some of those wrestlers opportunity, which I really liked. But right. So then obviously we said, you know, Cody was pointing at Roman Reigns. He was like, you're the one that I want. So, you know, that's all it was going to be. And then it was a case of, right, so the presumption was it was going to be Punk versus Seth, because I think a lot of people thought that's what it was going to be. If Punk won the Rumble, I thought he was going to challenge Seth anyway, and then potentially Cody would go on to fight in the Elimination Chamber to get an opportunity then to fight Roman Reigns. So I thought either way that's going to happen. But obviously CM Punk comes out, says he's injured, he's going to miss WrestleMania, which, you know, I think totally changed WWE's plans. There's actually rumors that potentially they changed the outcome of the match mid-match because when they found out Punk was injured, because Punk went over to the referees and told him that he was injured. And the Asian veteran that he is, potentially he knew what type of injury he had. And maybe there's a kind of rumor that they didn't want to run the risk of him winning it and then not being able to fulfill it. So it was easy to give it to Cody. Who knows? But we don't know that.
That would explain Cody's reaction and pointing at Roman, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, he could have just been doing it on the fly, saying, right, I'm calling you out now. But then obviously things happened and he's come back and he's like, right, we can't wrestle. So then as soon as Seth came out and said, right, you know, I think you should challenge me for the title. Again, I knew something wasn't right there. And I was like, okay, I think this is what we've been anticipating, especially with the teases that The Rock's been talking about, like head of the table. He came obviously out on SmackDown, said something. He's posted on his Twitter. And then obviously he joined the board of directors for the overall company, TKO. So apparently that was part of the deal of him coming on board, was that he was going to be headlining WrestleMania. Anyway, Cody then looks like a sap saying, you're the what I want still. That's the title that I want, but not WrestleMania. And obviously Rock comes out and it looks like we're going to get Rock and Roman for the main match. So, like I said, if this was all planned out, it makes zero sense for Cody to win the Rumble and be the back-to-back Royal Rumble winner if the only championship he's going to be able to go for is the one against Seth, because it negates his win completely. I did like on this week on Raw, Drew McIntyre came out and said, no, you know, you're making a mistake. You need to finish the story. And it seems like what Ryan said, they're now playing into the fact that he's chosen or not chosen Roman to defend. So again, there's presumptions that maybe either it's going to be a double bluff, like you say, you could turn on The Rock, or The Rock is going to be a special guest referee. He will change his mind, or it may end up being a triple threat match where it's all three of them, and maybe Cody will end up pinning The Rock as opposed to Roman, so it protects Roman, and then Roman and Rock can then have a one-on-one match down in SummerSlam or even next year WrestleMania. But there's lots of stuff going on, so we'll kind of get your guys' thoughts on that and then potentially what you would see as the plan moving forward. So let's talk about Elimination Chamber. Let's talk about what they can do with this pay-per-view to set up WrestleMania, because it's the only pay-per-view left before WrestleMania. There's a lot of storytelling to go through. So I'm going to kind of go through what has been confirmed. So the Women's Elimination Chamber, it's going to be Raw Women's Elimination Chamber, because obviously Bayley has already picked the SmackDown Championship to go for. We need a challenger for the Raw Women's title. So it's going to be a let's have a look. So Becky, so basically there's going to be a knockout competition. So Becky Lynch became the first to qualify, and she won over Shayna Baszler on Raw. Liv Morgan, she's going to take on Zoe Stark next week, and there's going to be a few more. So obviously we can take our, we'll go through our picks to say who do we think should be going into the Elimination Chamber for the Raw Women's Championship number one contender. In terms of the Women's World Championship, that is going to be Rhea Ripley against Nia Jax. And that's going to be a one-on-one match. Nia Jax was originally born in Australia, so it's actually two Aussies fighting for the championship. I presume that's going to be the main event, which signs off the show, because let's admit, this is Rhea Ripley's show. Then we'll talk about the Undisputed Tag Team Championship, because that's potentially going to be on the cards. Potentially there's going to be an Intercontinental Championship match on there, maybe a US Championship match, and then we'll talk about the Men's Elimination Chamber, and then potentially what title matches we won't have on that main event, because I don't think Roman Reigns is going to be there. So let's talk about the Women's Elimination Chamber. Becky Lynch is secured. Pretty much we're going to be, I would be very, very surprised if Liv Morgan didn't go over Zoe Stark. So you've got Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. Who are the other four contestants? Is six in the Elimination Chamber, is it, or five?
Six, I think.
So who else do you want to see in the Elimination Chamber? I'm going to come to Neil first, because to you last. Neil, who do you want? Who do you expect to see in there?
I mean, admittedly, I didn't know that it was just, I mean, like, obviously it's for the Raw title, but I didn't realize it was just Raw women competing. I thought, like, it's still Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think I'm still going to go with what I've got written in front of me.
Cool.
Which is...
yeah, because this would be how you book it. So again, this is about if you had creative control, how you'd book it.
Because I have, unfortunately, when we first discussed doing this, I wrote an original plan. And then obviously about 28 hours after I wrote it, The Rock starts strutting his way to the ring. And I was like, you
just another thing he's ruined.
Right. But I think the what I had set up for the my women's elimination chamber was I had Bianca Belair, mm-hmm. Jade Cargill, Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Chelsea Green.
Mm-hmm. Although I think Naomi's on SmackDown, though.
No, she is. I know, this is...
Gotcha.
Who I set up. And, admittedly, I do have that Liv Morgan was going to win.
Right, okay.
Interesting.
Right. Reason being, because... But this is what I've written as my new thing. And I think by having that Rhea facing Nia happening there at Elimination Chamber. Because the thing is, really and truly, whoever Rhea Ripley faces, she is going to absolutely demolish them. It's not even going to be close. And I think having it be Nia isn't the best idea, but it's the most logical idea at the minute, because it's Nia Jax is like running through everybody to just get her hands on Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. I personally would have had that match as a WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I would have just had... And crazy enough, I would have had Rhea Ripley just annihilate Nia Jax at WrestleMania. Just completely demoralize her. Just have something happen, maybe the Raw before Mania, I don't know, Nia Jax squashes Dominic Mysterio or something, just flattens him completely, and then, you know, Mommy loses it, and then that's when she goes into Mania just upset, and decides, yeah, I'm gonna take your head off, and just destroys that. But that's thinking far ahead. So yeah, I think I'd have those five in it, simply because Liv Morgan is the returning superstar. You've already got the only other people best suited to face Rhea Ripley at Mania, all tied up in something else. Bianca Belair's tied up with dealing with Jade Cargill. Becky Lynch isn't tied up with anything, but...
The cat.
She's had so many WrestleMania moments.
That is your cat's tail, Neil.
Yeah. Okay, so Ryan, who would you have in your elimination chamber, the women's elimination chamber?
I think you've got to have... I think it was interesting when Neil said Chelsea Green. Like, she was one of the highlights of the Rumble for me. I'd love to have
her. Chelsea Green.
Yeah, she
loved the outfit. She's so amazing.
Part of me did think a bit about Maxxine Dupri, because they seem to be pushing her. The non-tag portion of the roster is a little thin, particularly looking at Raw. I think she's really improved storyline-wise over the last couple of weeks, and you could get a lot of mileage out of the Alpha Academy putting training on Raw. So those two would be interesting picks for me. Then we've got Becky Lynch is already in there, and who else was likely to be in there already?
Liv, most likely.
Liv, yeah. So then you've got Zoe Stark. I'd love to see her in there.
Yeah, well, she's facing Liv Morgan, it's only going to be one of them.
Yeah,
well, This is if you had creative control.
I know Liv was meant to be in there. She's just come back, so she's clearly going in. But I prefer to see Zoe Stark in there personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go with Nikki Cross somehow being in there. Just because it's one of those matches. It's one of those matches where the crazy Nikki Cross will go in there and she'll do something.
Diving through a perspex box or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then,
Okay.
Maybe Ivy Nile. Ivy Nile, I think.
Ivy Nile, yeah, too. Yeah.
It's kind of you'd have a mix of credible up and comers. You've already got Naya and Mummy already out of it. Becky's already in it. So yeah, that's pretty much everyone else that you could get there, be a powerhouse. Plus, Ivy Nile's awesome too. So I'd love to see her.
Yeah, yeah. She has a couple of moments of the Rumble as well. Yeah. So she was on my pick. So obviously, I would probably have Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan in there anyway. So if I had control, so I'd have those two. I'd have Ivy Nile. I'd have Chelsea Green. I'd probably have Rachel Rodriguez. And then I'd probably have Indy Hartwell. So they'd be my collection for the Raw. I'd probably have Becky Lynch win it because I think the plan is for Becky versus Rhea at WrestleMania. But that's, I think what will happen is it end up being a triple threat match. And I'd probably have Becky versus Nia Jax versus Ripley as a triple threat. That's kind of because then you have the connection between Nia Jax and Becky as well, because of their history. So I can kind of see that being a triple threat match. That's how I'd book it anyway. So, Rax, who would you have for the Women's Elimination Chamber?
Well, I mean, with the Elimination Chamber, I've got to have Bianca Belair in there. Mm-hmm. Definitely going to have Becky Lynch going in there. Jade Cargill, just like what Neil was saying earlier. I would put obviously like people like Liv Morgan and Zoe Stark, but I mean, as a sixth person, I'd probably put someone like someone from NXT or something, probably put them in there as well, you know? Like,
well,
someone
like Tiffany Stratton is now on,
she's on Stratton. Yeah, she is. Yeah, but I mean, but not even like, I mean, even just for the, you know, just for the sake of, because I mean, they're not, I wouldn't even book them to win, but it's just for the fact that you got someone coming up to the main roster to do something different. So someone like Roxanne Perez or something like that, or even Blair Davenport would be quite good. Yeah, that'd be a good like little thing there. I mean, obviously, wouldn't book them to win, but you know, I
it
mean,
could
it
make
does kind of bring...
interesting.
Yeah, it could definitely. For example, but I mean, I can like the point what I really wanted to make was that I mean, I would probably have Becky win that because I kind of feel like Rhea Ripley is like the like from all the women right now, like she's top and she's like the best person to kind of, you know, and I kind of feel like she hasn't really been given a great title run. She's doing great as like, you know, technically the voice of the Judgment Day and all that, you know. But in terms of actually, you know, the women's championship that she's holding now, not any match I can think of that was memorable. I know they've been doing like matches, like I think she had one with Zoe Stark at Survivor Series. It didn't get much fanfare. I don't think a lot of people are actually behind Zoe Stark that much. You know, she was with Trish for a while, blah blah blah, and it just kind of went south after that. I mean, she's just had all these like matches and it's just, you know, weak. So I mean, I think someone like with Becky would definitely put some sort of icing on the cake of her title reign. Like, I would have her retain against Becky. Like, Becky even said, I think you're better than me, and I actually agree, to be honest with you. I think she is better than Becky. I mean, as much as I like Becky and all that, there's parts of Becky that just annoys me. So yeah, I wouldn't book her to win. Not based on that, but just because I think that Rhea Ripley does, you know, she deserves a bit more of a deserving win, really, to be honest with you, because her title reign is.
Yeah, I'd keep the title on her until Charlotte came back, you know, and then have a match with her as well. And she just needs to work her way through the roster, because she definitely has the capability. So
no, definitely.
All right, As, who would you have for the Women's Elimination Chamber? How would you book it?
Yeah, definitely Becky Lynch in there, like everyone, like you guys said as well. Like, she's definitely in there. I think I would love if Raquel Rodriguez is back from injury for her to be in there as well, because again, she has unfinished business with Rhea Ripley. I feel bad. Like, I really would love Zoe Stark to be in there. I think she's really talented, but like, I think we all know that Liv Morgan's going to win that match, which is so sad because just like, let's give it to Zoe Stark because she hasn't really done an Elimination Chamber yet, where I think Liv Morgan has. And it's like, give the talent, new talent, the chance to shine. And this is a place for to shine. I think Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair as well to give them the opportunity. I mean, that's one, two, three, four, is that five? And then the sixth one. I think it'll be. I would love to see Trish Stratus back or Lita back, but that's again like a very like more of like a dream thing for them to come back and do some of the matches and some of the things that they built the women's industry to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, they set up that industry, and now, as even though they are like, you know, older and stuff, they should come back and be able to do some of these really cool matches that in their time they weren't really allowed to do. So I would love to see that kind of like an old, like a very like a one of the older generation of wrestlers come back for that. Just for that, Trish Stratus would be my pick for that one. But I think who will win it will be Becky, because they did tease that it probably will be her a couple of weeks ago when she had that conversation with Rhea of like, you're better than me and I want to, you know, I want to face you. And like you got, like, I think like Rack said, Rhea hasn't really had a competitor that has that kind of like, wow, yes, you beat her, therefore you are one of the best. Like how they've done Liv Morgan and her run, where like she was going through a lot of big players, whereas with Rhea, she's been going with a lot of new talent, but not some of the older talent. And I think they should be able, I think she beats Becky, that kind of cements it even more, because Becky's so one of the biggest talents that the industry has.
You guys are right, but I would just interject and remind you that Rhea won the title by beating Charlotte at WrestleMania. Yeah.
But this is her
defenses.
Yeah,
it's her defenses up till now. Yeah. It's not really memorable at all. I can't even think of one good match. I think the best match that she's had is beating Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And after that, it's been kind of a...
I would love Rhea to fight to battle Shayna. I would love her to do. To battle Shayna or Ronda Rousey or you know Bayley or Becky or even like the generation where they uplifted the women's division in that beginning where every women wrestler is amazing, but there are obviously some people in that roster obviously that bring the pillar to the standard that it is, and to beat those people just to then cement her name that she is better than them. Because right now, like, and I do agree with Rax, where like it's just you don't see that she's beating people, yes, but it's not people where they've had amazing title reigns.
Yeah, it's not. She hasn't beaten a string of former champions.
Exactly, and that's something that we need her to see. Then it just cements her being a badass even more. That's all. But yeah, I would love Becky to win to cement that for Rhea.
Okay. Right. Let's move on to the men's elimination chamber match. Now, to me, this is the most confusing and actually hardest to book. So, at the moment, you've obviously the presumption is we're booking The Rock versus Roman Reigns. That's that championship out of the way. So then you've got Seth versus Cody.
Yeah.
Maybe a Seth, Cody, Andrew, because they're all in the mix at the moment. So potentially they're all going to be going for the World Heavyweight Championship. And you can see that playing out into WrestleMania. So now what do you do with the Elimination Chamber? Because normally that would generate you your number one contender. But we don't need that right now, because Cody is automatically the number one contender for the heavyweight championship, whether Drew's part of it or not. So both of those are taken care of. So I went back and looked at the Elimination Chamber last year, and actually the Elimination Chamber last year was actually for the US championship. And it was obviously just SmackDown contenders. So I was like, okay, there's two ways that they could do this. They could either make it a number one contender for the US championship, because I do expect a Logan Paul and Kevin Owens rematch. That's how I'd book it. And then you could have a United States number one contender. I'd also, or the other option is, if you went with the Raw brand, then you have an Intercontinental Championship number one contender match to face Gunther at WrestleMania. Yeah. So those are the two ways that I see that you'd book it. Because again, they're not cross promotions, so you won't have wrestlers from both promotions in this. But it's I don't know, it's difficult because you had SmackDown last year, but because you got Raw Women's as Elimination Chamber, I don't expect them to have a Men's Raw Elimination Chamber as well, both brands eliminating that. So, but I have done one for both. So I've booked one for both. Mm-hmm. So I've said if it's a number one contender for the US Championship, I'd have, because this is the only way you can get these superstars in there, I'd have AJ Styles, Randy Orton, LA Knight, Bron Breakker, Osmos, and Austin Theory. So I think those collective could cause carnage in the Elimination Chamber. I'd expect again, probably a fatal four-way, maybe for the US title. I think something like that may end up happening. But if you did have a number one contender, for me, it has to be LA Knight. So LA Knight wins the Elimination Chamber, goes on to face Logan Paul at WrestleMania, and takes the title from him at WrestleMania. That's kind of how I'd look at it. Otherwise, if I went for a Raw, number one contender for the Intercontinental, I'd have Chad Gable, I'd have Dominic Mysterio, I'd have Ricochet, Bronson Reed, Kofi Kingston, and Sheamus, if he's fit. Mm-hmm. So those would be my there, because again, you'd pick someone that could go on and have a great match with Gunther. And to be honest, out of those, I'm very tempted to go with Chad Gable, because they had some amazing matches in the last year. I'm very tempted by Dominic, because that would be the biggest upset if Dominic did that title from Gunther. And the booze would be incredible. So I'm very tempted to pick of that. But Sheamus as well. Sheamus and Gunther had some fantastic matches. Yeah. And if he's fit, so Sheamus was fit, I'd probably go with Sheamus. But the otherwise it's Dominic. And I think amazing storytelling. You know, if he won that and Mammy won a WrestleMania, that'd be perfect.
I think Dominic has done so well when he turned heel. Like, I just, mm-hmm. when he was babyface, he irritated me. Like, yeah. it just felt very cringed. Mm-hmm. Very just cringe. And then when he just turned heel, I'm like, yes, I love to hate you. And I love what you're doing. It's amazing. And just stay this character. Just don't just be this character forever. It's just amazing. Yeah. And I think, like, I just think he's done so well to elevate that. And to have, like, Rhea Ripley, like, by his side, and obviously, like, with the Judgment Day as well, like, they've just, the characters that are in there have just bouncing off each other and are elevating all the other characters as well. And just, yeah, I would love him to win a title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just to be like, yeah, I did it without my dad, and I would love to do that. I, like, well, you know, I didn't meet a dad for it. And yeah, I hope so. I hope he does get something at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Okay, so As, what would you book for the men's Elimination Chamber? What would you do with it?
See, I would probably do it for the Gunther's Championship, and I would like Jey Uso to win it if Jey Uso was in the Elimination Chamber. I think I'm amazed of how he's cut, like, how, like, he's been tagged, the tag part, him and Jimmy used to be tag partners for, like, years and years, obviously since they were, like, from the board, and to separate from that and be an individual character, an individual wrestler, I feel like that's really hard for tag teams, like, to be a single competitor sometimes. Like, I think it doesn't work out when for a lot of people, but he's just done everything and it's just worked. I really hope that he gets that a title reign to do that, and I hope it is with someone like Gunther, because that is Gunther's an exceptional wrestler.
Yeah. And the way I see it is, I think they're building up for Jay and Gunther as a title match at Elimination Chamber, and I'm down for that. But then I would have Jimmy come and ruin it for him.
Yeah.
So he interferes, he loses his opportunity. That then you have Jay, Jimmy at WrestleMania,
which I think would be your brotherly amazing. Love.
It's written in the stars.
Yeah, I think
to do that match.
Just keep screwing him basically until you have to face him. But yeah, no, I get that. But I do hope he gets a title reign, like a single competitive title reign.
Yeah, definitely.
He deserved it. But that's how.
I'd have Jay win Money in the Bank. I'd have him as the next Money in the Bank winner. Yeah. And to be honest, we haven't spoken about Damian Priest and the fact that he is still Mr. Money in the Bank and how that's going to play. So we have to have a little think about that. His time is running out.
I already feel like I know what's going to happen there.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay. So, who else would you put into your Elimination Chamber?
If we're looking at, like, both, like, everyone, I would love Chad Gable and Otis. Yeah. And I just, again, those who in the beginning, like when they became a tag, I wasn't really a fan. But I just can't help but love them. Like, when they see them on screen with Maxine Dupri, I just can't help but love them. And I just find that, like, well, how are you doing this? How are you making me love you? So I would love them to have that, to be in there. I would love, like, I love LA Knight's perspective. I would love, who else I could think of that's in the moment? I mean, them three for sure. going blank in my head now of who's on Raw.
Got Andrade, Braun Strowman, Dexter Lumis.
Andrade's just come back.
I would love Johnny Wrestling. I think he and Ciampa haven't had the best movement to go when they went to Raw. They haven't, like, NXT, they were just dominant, and they had really good storylines, and right at the moment they haven't had the chance to shine. So I will have them in the Elimination Chamber as well to shine as individual competitors, because they are really excellent as individual competitors. Right now they are a tag team, yes, but I want them to shine separately because they deserve that, and they deserve being seen as that. I would have them in it. And as you can see, I think my Elimination Chamber is all the people that need to shine. That should shine, really.
Shining moments, yeah.
Exactly, because they deserve it. But right now, I think a lot of things with WWE, which is sometimes really frustrating for me, what I see is it's always the same people. Always the same people that always will get lifted and the other people don't. And I just wish that they bring out talent, the talent people that don't get seen, and put them in the creative spotlight. Like they did with Kofi Kingston a few years ago, and it just, the people backed that. People backed the underdog. Yeah. Ricochet should have a good title reign. Like he's a talented person, but it just doesn't get backed as someone else. Like Logan Paul got a title reign over him. And I'm just why?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Okay, Rax, how would you book your men's Elimination Chamber?
I mean, if it was for the IC title, I'd definitely put as the last two participants in there as Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. I think given what the history is like, I think I'd like to put them as the last two guys in there. But I would actually have Sami Zayn win to face Gunther. I don't think I've seen, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I don't know if I've seen a Gunther-Sami Zayn match or have there been on Raw or something like that, but on the grand scale, on the grand stage and all that, I think Sammy's done his best work from the Bloodline. He there was that period where he was just that weasel kind of character that Vince
I hate that.
Yeah. So I mean, from that, for him to join the Bloodline to where he is now, he's definitely he's obviously not the guy that they're looking for, but he's definitely one of the top.
He should be though. Great.
Oh, definitely.
He should 100%. Be the guy. That's the only reason why I didn't put him in my if I wanted someone in there, because I think he should be up there with the main titles. He is He deserves it so much. He deserves it, and he should have a reign on the bigger titles, for sure.
Yeah, again, I don't think he's had the best sort of WrestleMania moment. I know he had that kind of thing with Johnny Knoxville.
He had the tag team one.
You're right.
Invented last but
maybe,
year, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe as an individual then. Maybe I'm not sure if he's had one anything like that. I mean, he had that thing with the whole Jackass crew. It was an entertaining match. I did like it. It's a good.
But him and Kevin Owens had their WrestleMania moment last year, didn't they? Winning those tag teams.
But I mean, I definitely book Sami Zayn for that. I would love to see Gunther and Sami Zayn. That would be something different. Obviously, because what you said earlier is Jay and Jimmy. It's definitely it's something that it's written in the stars, as you said. It's definitely something that I want to see. Definitely for sure. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me going back to when Matt and Jeff had a match at WrestleMania. Was it 2009? Mm-hmm. I think it was. Wasn't the greatest match, but just that whole. Because no one would ever thought they would have been split up at any point. So
that's right.
I would like to see that for definite. But again, the other participants probably being there. I'd probably put a couple of guys from the Judgment Day. Probably put Finn Balor and Dominic in there. I'd probably put even Shinsuke actually. I'll put Shinsuke and Nakamura in there. I think he's done his best heel work in a long time. He's sort of evolved the whole with Cody in a way still. I don't know where they're trying to go with that though.
No, they keep bringing it back, and it's almost like a space filler now because they don't know what else to do with Cody. It's a strange one.
It's definitely a backup. Or I'd probably even put Drew McIntyre as probably the last guy. I mean, I'm just clutching at straws here. I can't think of anyone else I'd like to put there. But definitely Sammy. But definitely Sammy for the win. Definitely for that. That's how I'd look at it.
Okay. Sammy for the win for everything.
Sammy for the win. Right, Ryan, how would you book your Elimination Chamber? For the men.
So I'm almost certain, like yourself, is going to be Gunther versus Jay one-on-one, and they they're going to have Jimmy interfere, sets all that up. Gunther's epic reign continues, and possibly a big moment with him losing it at WrestleMania. Well, I'd still have him win. But I think both either IC or US is going to be a number one contender match rather than for the title itself.
Yeah.
My preference is for the US title. But for either scenario, I've got one. So I'll go with my least favorite first. Okay. If they were going to go for Gunther and challenge him at WrestleMania, which kind of would elevate him, then you've got Sammy, Jay, Kofi as kind of big contenders. Then big Bronson Reed. Could you imagine one a tsunami from the top of the pod? Murder somebody. Then I've got Dominic and possibly Jinder.
I thought about Jinder.
Won me the title in the league the first year. I
did you?
Do you have a soft spot for Jinder?
No, Charlotte won you the title that first year.
Yeah, but he got me so many points during the year. He was a ringer. My preferred scenario, and I think the bigger one, because the only match they've got to headline the card is, well, they could probably do a Rock segment to end it, and I think that's probably what they're going to do with Cody, Rock, Roman at the end of it. They'll drag out his decision until WrestleMania. But the main event match, I think, will be number one contendership for Logan's title. Logan will be at ringside doing commentary the whole time. Owens, natural fit to be in there. Then your other biggest names will be Austin, AJ, LA Knight, and that kind of continues their rivalry. Big name in there in Orton, and you've got AJ and LA, which even if LA doesn't win it, you're going to have AJ versus LA Knight at WrestleMania as the marquee match. They seem to be building toward that. Then I had a look at the roster earlier. I think the best fit other than that, if they don't do a separate match for these guys, is Bobby and Karrion Kross.
I think they'll
save it there. I think the big six-man match will be at WrestleMania. But I think that would be a good stepping point with Karrion eliminating Bobby just to further that and kind of build him up a little before they actually do a big match at WrestleMania. I think that's probably the most high-profile match they could do. And the Raw roster is otherwise occupied because Drew's in the world title.
Yeah, that's a way to put it.
I think it's got to be the US title.
Okay. Right, Neil, how would you book your men's Elimination Chamber match?
Right. Well, I mean, it's going to sound wild. Originally, when everything was, you know, the way it should be, and it was going to be Cody versus Roman, my match was going to be you for whoever faces Seth.
Yeah.
And I had a bunch of people in it, but the basic line of it was that Gunther was in the match and he would have won it. Right. And then at Mania, it would have been a title v title match, which Gunther would have won. I would have had Gunther be the world champ and the intercontinental champ because he's never going to reach 1,000 some odd days as like that champion, but just have Gunther having two titles at one time, even if he loses one of the titles at the next pay-per-view, it would have been a moment to be like, yeah, here's your thing for all your hard work is you kicked ass. But considering now it would either be for Intercontinental or US title challenges, if it were for the Intercontinental title, I would have Finn Balor, Bronson Reed, The Miz, Jey Uso. Who else would I have had? I guess it would have to be like maybe add like Chad Gable to it and maybe like Ricochet or something, right? Just the Raw locker room, basically.
Okay.
I probably say if that's it, then the winner would be. I have no idea who I'd pick as the winner.
Okay.
Because, I mean, really, I mean, actually, no, I kind of do. It would mess up other plans, but it'd probably be somebody like The Miz.
Yeah. Okay.
Because simply put, I think Miz doesn't get his due.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it was SmackDown as for the US title, then I would have LA Knight, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Karrion Kross. I'd also have Solo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And either Andrade, probably Andrade in there.
Yeah.
And I think, as wild as it sounds, it doesn't really matter who won that match. Just, to, you know, probably be LA Knight who wins, and then he would have the megastar versus the Maverick at WrestleMania. Logan Paul, clearly he loses, you know, because they can go back and forth. Because I can just imagine the promos between LA Knight and Logan Paul.
Yeah. Where
Logan Paul's like, I am a, you call yourself the megastar, but I am literally a megastar. I have done, you know, I've done the boxing. Everything he listed out when he was talking with Kevin Owens, that entire list, rerun that. And then you just have, you know, LA Knight just say something like, you know, yeah, but considering I'm 6 years old, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, let's put our final card. So if there's any other matches you want to put forward, so Elimination Chamber 2024. Probably I'm on a bit of a time restraint here because I think I've got too many matches, but I don't see there being a women's tag team championship match on this pay-per-view.
They need to make those titles relevant.
Yeah, they do. Well, I think they need to split. I think both the tag titles, they need to split for the brands. But then I'd also, no undisputed championship match. I do not see Roman Reigns actually going to Australia. I don't think he's going to appear. And there's going to be no World Heavyweight Championship match either because Seth Rollins is injured. So the two biggest titles are not going to be defended on this pay-per-view. So I would have AJ Styles and LA Knight. I think that'd be a strong match, just the two of them, because there's a bit of a grudge match going on between those two. I went with a SmackDown Elimination Chamber, which then frees up these people. So I'd have Drew McIntyre and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn. I think because of the way Raw's kind of left them off at the moment, you're going to build up that tension between Cody and Drew because that needs to develop. Shinsuke's still in that mix there. And obviously Sami Zayn came out for the rescue. That perfectly builds up for a tag team match for that pay-per-view. And it keeps the feud relevant without Seth being able to be involved at the moment. I potentially imagine Seth to be there in the crowd like he was at Rumble, because I think he can still keep stay there to be relevant because he can travel and so forth. Then I'd have the US Championship, Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens, a rematch. I'd probably have it. I thought about having it as a no DQ match because of the whole thing previously, but I feel so I'd probably have it like that, and I would have Kevin Owens lose. I think Logan Paul needs to retain going into WrestleMania because I would have him defending at WrestleMania. I think that'd be worth it. Intercontinental Championship, like I said, and then I had Gunther versus Jimmy. Great build up there. Jimmy gets a Gunther versus Jay. Great build up there. You know, he's such a great character, and like you say, he deserves that moment. They build up the brother feud again at Royal Rumble by having him as number one and number two entrance. But then, yeah, Jimmy will come in, cost him the title, which then sets up the feud for them going forward. And it keeps Gunther with the title. Then you've got the Undisputed Tag Team Championship match. So DIY's Johnny Gargano and Campia, they won the four-way battle on Raw. So they are going to face Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate on SmackDown. And one of those two teams are going to fight Finn Balor and Damian Priest for the titles at the Elimination Chamber. So I expect it to be Gargano and Campia versus Balor and Damian Priest. I don't see Gargano and Campia winning it. I see the other guys retaining because I see potentially them defending their titles at WrestleMania, potentially R-Truth and The Miz, something like that. So then we got the Women's World Championship match, Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, like we already said. Then a Men's Elimination Chamber. I'm going to have it as the SmackDown number one contender for the US Championship. And then the Women's Elimination Chamber is going to be the Raw Women as the number one contender. And I'd have Becky Lynch that win that. And then for the US Championship SmackDown, I'd probably, and have LA, let's have a look. Probably have LA Knight win that. oh no, I've got him and AJ Styles fighting, so I'd have to lose that match. They're both in the SmackDown, and then LA Knight will win that. So that'd be my card. Anybody else want to go through a card? Has anybody else got like a whole card they want to go through, or any other matches they want to see?
There's one that I'd love to see on the Undisputed title. So the Undisputed tag titles. Mm-hmm. My personal hope is that when we get to the match on DIY versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. They interfere in it. Similarly to a couple of weeks ago in Miss Lee, but WWE likes reusing things. And you end up with a triple threat tag title match there. Mm. As much as I don't want DIY to be pinned just yet. I think you build them up a little. Same thing, yeah. They've just brought back Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight, so I don't want him pinned yet either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'd carry on that to the Elimination Chamber. A Priest and Finn win somehow. And then that feud kind of carries on to WrestleMania. With either one of the teams, I'd be happy either way. Second thing, I agree wholeheartedly, especially after at the end of the Raw, Zayn, Cody versus Shinsuke and Drew. That seems like a natural continuation of that. And then you can sort of segue into Drew working his way into the title match if they do go with Cody, Drew, and Seth. Then you've got to have Truth versus JD. Just Truth deserves it. He's awesome, man. Like the breath of fresh air he's been back.
Truth should bring back the 24/7 championship. He should bring it back and be like, Judgment Day, I've got a title too. That'd be amazing.
I'd love to see that. But other than that, I think you've covered most of the matches that I'd love to see. But yeah, that the tag title match, I want to see Pete Dunne do well. Like, I've got to see him with as many awesome wrestlers as possible. So.
I think the only thing I would have done, which is ever so slightly different than what you guys were doing, is I would have had the Awesome Truth reform properly to face JD and Mysterio.
Right.
JD and Dom. I would have it be a tag match, the two of them, and because I just think them beating both of them, and then it leaves the, you know, the backstage segment where it's like, well, the two of you lost, and what it can serve as is, whilst because Rhea is busy with Nia, Damian is de facto leader, and as Damian is de facto leader, he gets pissed off with JD and Dominic for losing, which allows Rhea to come up and be like, Dom Dom is mine, you can't say anything to him, which creates enough rift, enough tension that when you get to WrestleMania and it's, you know, the Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day, is it actually the Judgment Day, or is it just Finn and Damian, which, you know, leads to them losing the titles, and you can have, at the end of that match, you can have Damian turning on Finn, stomp the shit out of him. That's the end of that. Judgment Day is no more.
You say, because they got to do something with that, right? Because they teased Finn and Damien falling out several times because the amount of times they've done this, like, almost cash-in
thing.
So do we see... We don't see Damien, obviously, cashing in at Elimination Chamber, do we?
No.
There's no one to cash in on.
Well,
I'm saying it now, because I want a record of it in case it happens.
I think you're going to say what I'm going to say, but I'll let you say it first because you got that.
I reckon Cody wins the world title and then immediately loses it because Damien cashes in on him.
I
see him losing the tag match and then the same weekend.
He could do it to The Rock or Roman. You never know.
You know what it does? If it happens to Cody, then it's like the whole complete the story thing hypes up even more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can have it like Damien versus Cody, and then Damien versus Finn, and Damien versus this person and that person, and Damien just blah, 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 blah. And then it frees you up to have Cody complete the story, not at a WrestleMania, but at another event. win the title. Because, I mean, I keep hearing rumors of they're going to, like, unify world and heavyweight titles around SummerSlam time. I don't know if that's true or false.
I don't want that.
They've just brought the World Heavyweight Championship. I can't see them doing it again.
I don't see
them anything. They need to create two different tag titles because the Undisputed Tag Championships, they need a tag championship on each brand. The women's you can understand because there's less of the women tag teams to compete for that, so you can see them cross brands and do that. But the men's tag team championship, SmackDown need they really do need it.
Yeah,
I mean, at very least,
then you could have people like Randy Orton and AJ Styles and LA Knight and stuff teaming up with people to take on those belts.
I mean, look at RK Bro.
Yeah.
Hell, even before the bar. Which are one of my favorite tag teams of all time, The Bar, because you had two superstars, you weren't doing anything with them, they're both amazing, you put them together, and then they became this amazing tag team. And you're like, you've got enough wrestlers on Raw and SmackDown.
And Hell No.
Hell, the awesome truth, the golden truth.
All right. Any other matches you guys want to see for Elimination Chamber?
They definitely need to bring the women's tag titles relevant, and they need to be on pay-per-views, not just on like shows. They need to be on pay-per-views. Otherwise, they're not seen as the big titles as every other one that's there. And I think it needs to have, like, because right now the tag title, the reason why it went away was because it just didn't hold any value to it. And now it's just happening again. It's very lazy writing for it. When you have decent tag teams where, like, you know, the Kabuki Warriors are really good wrestlers and are really...
With them as champs, there's a good chance they'd be on the cards. Like, Oscar's...
I imagine that at some point in time, they'll probably lose the titles to the team of Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill.
That would be unstoppable team.
Do you know what I would like to see, though? I would like to see, I mean, it's not specifically for the for Elimination Chamber, but I'd like to see a bit more like women's matches where a title is not really a focal point. Do you know what I mean? Because every match that I kind of feel that there's never really, like, you know how, like, men have...
Just
like
a grudge match.
Natalia had that, didn't they, a few years back, which was really, really good. For Natalia itself, like, just to be, like, like you said, like, it wasn't...
They don't get it enough.
Yeah, that was really good storytelling, that, between Nikki Bella and Natalia, I had to say.
Yeah, like, you just want feuds sometimes, don't you? You just want two people who can cook on the mic and have a great feud. Yeah.
It's the last storyline like that, the Trish one, during the summer.
Yeah.
It's like with Trish and Becky, it's like, how can you not, sort of thing. But I mean you've got so many like talented women on the roster and all that, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just a waste because they're not in the title picture.
Well, you've got like Tegan Nox that came back a few months ago, and
are you getting a heel turn coming soon?
I hope so, and I would love to see her and Natalia, you know, on like pay-per-views. That would be a really good match. But yeah, like you know, like you just said, it's just women wrestling is based on titles at the moment, where there's more talent than the title than the titles, and we should see that as well. It's not just
sorry to talk over you, Ezra. I think it's a perfect point, and it's one of the things that the old brand exclusive pay-per-views did perfectly, like you were saying, where there were two different tag titles, that way there'd be two completely different rosters, and you're not just going, oh yeah, we've got these top people on each roster, we'll have them on every show.
I actually preferred having those like a Raw exclusive pay-per-view or a SmackDown. I used to prefer that. You get so many people that just been left on the wayside just not there. It's kind of a shame, because too many like talented people on there, honestly.
And I think when you look at the women's division itself, well, it's always seen. Yes, you've got the big women's titles and main eventing and stuff, but it's not just about main eventing. It's about all the other cards as well, and we don't see that. And we do have talent to fit every other card, every other midweight champion, or just feuds. And it's not fair. It's not fair that like we're seeing that, you know, they have progressed, but WWE has been progressing all throughout the years, but we're still in the concept of like, it will still be a man kind of bigger show than the women's kind of thing, yeah. If you would know what I mean. Yeah. Like, you only see a championship of a woman wrestling there rather than like actual feuds or just tag team championships, and just like bring that into it. That's like, you know, they're good on the mic. The tanning wrestlers, what's more to love? You know, what's not to love?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. I could talk for another hour or so, but we're going to try and wrap it up for this episode. I think what we'll do is once the full card has been released, we'll do another quick show where we just give our predictions for the matches, and then we'll do like a point system. So for correct result, type of finish and that kind of thing. So I think that'll be a little bit fun to run alongside the fantasy thing. So we'll get together once the card's been announced. We'll get together, we'll put our predictions in, and then we can see how well we did on the follow-up.
Neil can bring the fantasy.
I see Neil's face as well.
Yeah, and then Neil will be able to bring the fantasy.
It just feels like you're creating another competition to try and get points.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it like that, but I like it. Yeah. I need a chance to win. okay, so yeah, that's it from us. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for joining us on our first Squared Circle podcast. I say, as always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe. Make sure you share the podcast as well. Let people know what we're about. We hope you enjoyed it. You know, whether you're a fan of wrestling or not, you know, it's one of these things where it is just a different kind of soap opera, and we love it. It's It just sings. It's they cook, and sometimes it is cinema. That's what it is. So thank you very much for joining us. And until next time, guys, peace out and acknowledge us.
Yeah. Acknowledge me.